One of the worst things we can do for highly sensitive kids who are struggling is to try to fix them, try to fix their feelings, try to make them happy again, try to get them to calm down. If you've been doing that with your child, today's episode is for you. We're going to dive into three ways that we not so obviously try to fix our kids' feelings, even when we don't think that's what we're doing. Let's get into it. Parenting is the hardest job ever, and parenting a highly sensitive child who's struggling can feel downright impossible. If you're suffering through endless meltdowns, walking on eggshells, and losing sleep worrying, you've landed in the right place, because I'm here to help you feel good about parenting your highly sensitive child. I'm Dr. Hillary, clinical psychologist and mom of three, and you're listening to the Raised Resilient podcast, where I help you make sense of your child's challenging behaviors and build resilience in the face of their big emotions. So warm up your coffee and grab your earbuds. It's time to turn your child's sensitivity into their superpower. Hey, Cycle Breakers. Welcome back to Raised Resilient. I'm your host, Dr. Hillary, and I am so glad you're here. So one of the things that I find that my clients kind of universally struggle with is this idea of not fixing feelings. So often we might know intellectually that fixing feelings isn't helpful and that when someone tries to do that for us, it doesn't feel good. But here's the thing. Our feelings were always fixed. We were always told, you're fine. This isn't a big deal. Just get up and brush it off. Some of us were even shamed. Stop crying or toughen up. Right? We were told that our feelings didn't matter and that we shouldn't be feeling them. And we learned to stuff them down and ignore them and run away from them. And so now here you are as a parent and you are trying to allow space for your child's feelings. You're hearing that. You're hearing that you should welcome these feelings and hold space for them. What the heck does that even mean? And how do you do that when everything in your nervous system is telling you to shut it down? And I think this gets even trickier with highly sensitive kids, because here's the thing. How many of you have ever felt like if I lean into my child's emotions, this bottomless pit of emotions is never going to end? I'm going to end up sitting in this bottomless well of big emotions with my child. And I don't want that. If you can relate to that, you're not alone, okay? Highly sensitive kids do have big, intense emotions. And for most of us who are parented to move away from our feelings, being told that you have to sit with those feelings and welcome them and draw them out and allow them can feel really challenging in practice or even downright scary. And maybe if you don't resonate with feeling scared, maybe you resonate with feeling exhausted by it, overwhelmed by it. How can I possibly allow space for my child who just has so many emotions? Like, they never end. They never stop. They overreact to the tiniest non-issues. If that's you, I see you. I feel you. It is hard to shift this pattern. And a lot of times we think we've shifted it and we actually haven't. And that's what I find over and over and over with my clients. They'll come into working together, having literally listened to every single podcast episode that I've released, and they understand it intellectually, but they haven't yet embodied the ability to be with these big feelings. And I'm telling you, when you can do that, when you can make that shift in an embodied way and actually feel safe and comfortable in the face of your highly sensitive child's big emotions, it's a game changer. It's probably the single biggest game changer that I have felt in my own parenting. Now, there's tons of other things. There's so many pieces to this puzzle, but this one shift alone is incredibly powerful. Now, if you're listening to this and you're like, I don't know if my kid is highly sensitive, I strongly encourage you to go take my free quiz. It'll take you literally 2 minutes. Go to raisedresilient.com/quiz. It'll give you a really great sense of where your child is at and how you can meet them there, how you can support them most effectively. When I'm talking about highly sensitive kids, I am largely talking about highly emotionally sensitive kids, deeply feeling kids, kids who present with big, intense emotions that they don't yet have the skills to manage. And of course, along with that can come sensory sensitivities too. That's not always present in the kids and the families that I've worked with, okay? So sometimes it is truly just an emotional sensitivity. Like, this child just experiences their feelings more deeply than other kids. And that's okay. It's not a bad thing. It's not a clinical diagnosis. It's not actually even a problem, except that for so many of us, the way that we were parented did not prepare us to handle the emotions of a highly sensitive child. And you may even realize in listening to this podcast that you yourself were a highly emotionally sensitive child, okay? I think I've shared on here before that I absolutely was myself, and I will share more about what that was like as a child in one of my parenting reflections episodes, because I think it will be helpful to a lot of you who might be wondering, like, maybe that was me too. But my friend, if you are a sensitive soul who was a sensitive soul as a child and you felt your feelings deeply and you were parented during the 80s and 90s when parenting essentially was about rewards and punishments, there's a really good chance that you did not get your emotional needs met as a child. And I've said so many times on here, that's not because your parents didn't love you or didn't care. It's just they did what they knew. And they were coming into parenting with their own trauma of not getting their emotional needs met. This is why I call you all cycle breakers, because you are breaking that cycle and you are creating the space for your child to feel their feelings in your safe presence. But that doesn't mean it's easy, and that doesn't mean it's going to come naturally. And so there can be this mismatch between this highly emotionally sensitive child who has these big, intense emotions and the parent who never got those needs met and is now really uncomfortable, not only in the face of their child's emotions, but also in the face of their own. And so there might be ways that we are inadvertently still trying to shut these feelings down when our kids are expressing them because it's really uncomfortable. So here are three of those maybe sneakier ways of trying to fix our child's feelings, even though we feel like we're welcoming them. And I see these all the time with my clients, and we work together very closely, not just on an information level, but on the level of actually shifting these patterns because they are so ingrained. So you're probably not sitting with your child and telling them to be quiet or stop feeling or you're fine, get over it. You probably know not to say that, but here are three things you might still be doing in the face of your child's big emotions. And these things are shutting your child's emotions down. And what can happen is this perpetuates a cycle of meltdowns because your child learns like, oh, okay, I got to keep these feelings in. And your child already feels that being highly sensitive. They already are aware of the intensity of their emotions and they know they don't know how to handle those emotions. And so they are trying already to keep them at bay. But when we also inadvertently send the message that like, yep, this is too much, keep that locked away, then our kids start to what we call white knuckle. They just hold it in. They hold it in until like it just explodes out of them in a meltdown. So they hold it in until they can't anymore. And we end up in this cycle of meltdowns. And often these meltdowns will get worse over time because our child is never feeling safe to just express those emotions as they come. So as you listen to these three ways that you might inadvertently be shutting down your child's feelings, I want you just to start to become aware of when you might be doing this or feeling pulled to do this. And as you interact with your child, you can slowly start to shift this with awareness being the first step. Okay, so the first one is trying to convince your child, trying to get them to see that they are in fact overreacting. So in practice, that might look like this. Let's say that your child is upset that the cup that they like is not clean and they have to use a different one. And to you, this is like the smallest deal on the planet. And you're trying to get them to see that, you know what, this is really not a big deal. Like, okay, I know that this cup is not clean. I know you wanted the other one, but like, there's another cup and you can drink out of it and it's going to be just fine. Like, this really is not a big deal. And we might even convince ourselves that getting our child to see reason in this moment is going to help them be more resilient. Because if they understand that this is a small deal, then maybe next time they won't react. And if you listen to the episode I shared, gosh, 6 weeks ago or so now, where I was talking about how sometimes your highly sensitive child is upset about something that didn't even happen, which happened to me. My son was upset about a misunderstanding and he had created a narrative in his head that did not reflect what actually happened. And I got stuck, even though I teach this stuff, I got stuck in a place where I was trying to get him to see that like, but I didn't actually say that. You're mad at me for something I didn't actually say. Spoiler alert, you can totally go back and listen to that episode, and you should if you haven't yet. It's a good episode. But that totally made things worse. Me trying to get him to see reason in that moment and to get him to understand that he was overreacting was pretty much the least helpful thing I could do. I want you, as a parent of a highly sensitive child, I want you to stop using the word overreacting. Like, literally eliminate it from your vocabulary, because here's the thing that is so important. Your child is not overreacting. Their feelings actually are that big. And it is not our job to judge whether someone else's emotions make sense. Okay, so the new way of looking at this now is for you to reframe this into trusting that your child's emotions do in fact make sense, because I promise you they do. And until you actually start to believe that they make sense, even when they don't make logical sense to you, you will not be able to effectively create emotional safety for your highly sensitive child. So this reframe is so important. The next way that we inadvertently try to shut down instead of allow our child's feelings is similar, but it's a little bit different. This one is when we try to convince our child that our limit or our boundary was reasonable. Okay, so this one might look something like this. So you're at the playground and it's time to leave, and your child is protesting because they're having so much fun. It's hard to stop doing something fun. They don't want to leave. And you say, "But we've already been here for an hour. I gave you 3 warnings. You knew this was coming." And the subtext of that, even though we might not realize it, is, "You have no right to feel this way, kid." We do this to our kids all the time. "It's time for bed." "I don't want to go to bed." "Well, it's late and you need sleep and tomorrow is a school day." Or, "I know you want to go to your friend's house, but tonight is not a good night for our family. You never seem to understand that we have other obligations sometimes." In these instances, you are, even if you don't realize it, trying to get your child to stop feeling their feelings. You're trying to logic your way out of experiencing these feelings with your child. "If they only could understand how reasonable my point of view is, they would agree with it and they would stop feeling." So the reframe here is that you get to tell yourself, "My limit is so reasonable. My boundary is my boundary." And at the same time, your child gets to feel however they feel about that limit or boundary. They do not have to like it. They do not have to accept it. They are allowed to express pushback. And the more you can hold that line and allow your child to share those feelings with you, the more effective you're going to be and feel as a parent, and the more emotional safety you're going to create for your highly sensitive child. Okay, and the third way that we might inadvertently try to shut down our child's feelings is when your child is in the middle of a meltdown and your entire focus, even if you're not saying it, is to get your child back to calm and back to happy. We do this all the time. And a lot of times, parents come into working with me thinking that their job really is to calm their child down in the middle of a meltdown. And actually, it's the complete opposite. Your job during a meltdown is to help your child safely let those feelings out until they're done. Your job is to hold space and keep your child safe and co-regulate through that meltdown. Okay, so co-regulating is not forcing your child to calm down by stopping their feelings, okay? Co-regulating, I want you to think of it as if you've got a flashlight and you're walking with your child through a dark cave, trying to find the other door. And your child might walk in circles, and your child might stay stuck for a little while, and your child might just sit down in the middle of that dark cave and hang out. And all of it is okay as long as everybody is safe. You're there. You've got that flashlight. You're showing your child that they can see the way, and you are guiding them through the feeling. You are not stopping the feeling. And this is such a powerful reframe, because so often we really do internalize this pressure to get our child to calm down, and we feel like we're failing if we don't do that. We're like negotiating with them in the middle of a meltdown to take deep breaths. How many of you have been there? It's like the most ineffective thing you can do. But if you feel like your job is to get your child to calm down, then you're going to try stuff like that. And those of you who have worked with me more closely know that I am not knocking deep breaths, but we cannot pull out these strategies in the moment when our child is completely dysregulated and expect them to work. I was talking with one of my clients the other day, and she was telling me that her 10-year-old daughter often wakes up in a mood, and she doesn't know how to get her out of that mood. And I told her, you don't have to. It's not your job to get her out of that mood. It is your job to help her feel seen and safe and like she can share her feelings with you. It is your job to set boundaries around how she is expressing those feelings, making sure that she's not hurting others with those feelings. But if she is waking up in a down mood and your entire energy is focused on trying to get her up, that is a complete misattunement. And that is always going to lead to stress in the parent-child relationship. So if instead we can shift our focus to actually just letting those feelings be, that's a Janet Lansbury-ism that I absolutely love because it really is what we need to do. We need to let those feelings be. And Janet actually goes one step further and says, roll out the red carpet for those feelings, which I also love. But when you start to ask yourself things like, how can I get them out of this? How can I snap her out of that? How can I get her in a better mood? Well, you don't. You don't. You let the feelings be. And you attune to your child through their dysregulation and discomfort. So if you are someone who relates to any of these three patterns, you're not alone. You're a wonderful parent and you can shift this. Okay, you absolutely can. And if this is something that you are really struggling with, you need help shifting it. This is a big part of what we do in my Chaos to Connection program. And so if that feels like it could be the next right step for you in your parenting journey, while you're trying to figure out how to effectively parent your highly sensitive child, reach out to me. Let's book a call. Let's talk through what's going on, and we'll see if this is the next right step. You can do that at raisedresilient.com/breakthrough. So I hope that was helpful. Remember that learning to really allow your child's feelings is a process. It is not linear. You are going to take two steps forward and one step back. As long as you continue to work with the mindset shifts and reframes that I shared here, you will make progress. But you can't get complacent with it because when we get complacent, we revert back to our unconscious patterns, which for pretty much all of us are to run away from our emotions and from other people's. So I hope this was helpful. You are doing amazing work in your home with your child, and I will catch you in the next episode. Want to continue the conversation and connect with other parents who get it? Join our free Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/raisedresilient. I can't wait to see you in there. And if you loved today's episode, I'd be so honored if you'd share it with a friend who needs it. Thanks for listening. And until next time, we've got this.